Today on Annenberg Radio News.
The idea caught on so quick. People just sat down and started playing, and it was just so phenomenal and so unique.
We're learning more about USC's community piano. Good afternoon. From the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013. I'm Graham Clark. Antonio Villaraigosa has 2 months left in the mayor's office, but he's trying to make an impact on the next 4 years. James Santelli reports on a budget plan that could help the city recover, but cancels out some old agreements.
Let's say you were expecting a pay raise. Pretty exciting, right? Ron Haywood is a city traffic officer with the LA Department of Transportation, and he was looking forward to his. He went 4 years without a salary increase and was expecting to get his first pay raise in 4 years, part of an agreement approved by city government.
The mayor agreed to this. I mean, this was his proposal, and he agreed, we agreed. And now, basically, he's going back on his word.
The mayor's word was a 5.5% pay increase for city employees on January 1st, 2014. But in a budget proposal released yesterday, Villaraigosa suggested the new mayor renegotiate the raises.
The only way forward for this city is to reduce the cost of salaries, health care, and pensions.
After years of deficits, Villaraigosa says his proposal could create a budget surplus starting in 2017. The good news for employees? No more layoffs, no more furloughs. For Angelenos, more money for road repairs and tree trimming services. But the mayor has reversed his plan for employee pay increases he agreed to. Jack Humphreyville from City Watch says the change in heart comes from Villaraigosa wanting to produce a balanced budget.
The mayor, I think, is still feeling the fallout from the boneheaded decision to increase salaries and wages 25% back in 2007.
Without any pay raises for the majority of LA's 48,000 employees, Haywood and his family have faced cost of living increases without any extra money.
Taxes rise, gas prices have gone up, housing costs have risen, It's been difficult. It's been very difficult.
So difficult that Haywood doesn't even live in the city. He commutes from the Inland Empire. And whether Wendy Gruhl or Eric Garcetti finds their way to the mayor's office for the next 4 years, he says the employees will be around for the long haul. James Santelli, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles City Council voted this morning to end the city's reliance on coal power. But as Camille Simmons reports, going green might cost L.A. a lot of money.
Manuel Hernandez wants L.A. to stop using coal out of concern for his family's health.
I have a sister that has respiratory problems. It's important that we understand and educate ourselves about these conditions, about the environment, and making sure that we do something to mitigate those issues.
Hernandez is a member of one community organization that attended this morning's news conference on ending LA's coal dependence.
And we thank the city of Los Angeles, the mayor, the city council, for what we will do in a couple hours, which is pushing Los Angeles closer to a future that is beyond coal. Thank you so much.
The city council voted unanimously to approve a contract to make L.A. coal-free by 2025. Evan Giuseppe works with the Sierra Club.
What we've created here today is a plan to get Los Angeles out of coal and to invest more of our money locally in clean energy here in Los Angeles that's going to create good jobs, help save people money, and grow our economy.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and the Department of Water and Power announced the plans to go coal-free last month. The utility company will end its contract 2 years early with the coal plant in Arizona and convert another one in Utah to natural gas. But getting rid of coal in Los Angeles is not going to be cheap. The Department of Water and Power estimates it will cost $600 million. Lisa Camuso-Miller is with the American Coalition for Clean Coal. She says if you're looking for an inexpensive energy source, look no further.
Coal has consistently over time been the energy source in America that has remained steady and affordable. It's reliable and it's increasingly clean.
But not clean enough for LA. It's one of the most polluted cities in the U.S. The Energy Information Administration reported earlier this month that carbon dioxide emissions have been decreasing since 2007 because of a shrinking reliance on coal power. The city council will vote on a finalized ordinance on May 1st. Camille Simmons, Annenberg Radio News.
A bill that would extend new protection to California's homeless population made it through the State Assembly Judiciary Committee today. The so-called Homeless Bill of Rights would give homeless people the right to rest in public without threat of arrest. And it requires local governments to provide access to showers and bathrooms. Supporters say the bill will help the homeless get back on their feet. Here's Steve Diaz from LA Community Action Network.
It's a great step towards creating equality in the law. And by creating equality in the law, you're creating the ability for a person to take on basic needs. And by being able to take on those basic needs without being criminalized, you give the person the opportunity to continue to do what they need to do on a daily basis.
So instead of working to pay off illegal camping or jaywalking tickets, homeless residents can work to find a job. But some local governments and business groups around the state say this effort to help the homeless will be too costly. Some see other problems with the bill's language. Deborah Carlton of the Florida Apartment Association says the bill's definition of homeless would protect people who aren't really homeless, like people who share apartments.
So let's say they don't pay the rent. They may have extra rights that were never anticipated.
The bill is based on one passed in Rhode Island last year. And Mayor Villaraigosa and the LAPD Chief Charlie Beck today announced the city is making it easier for residents to turn in guns. As Cliff Liu reports, there will now be four locations for gun buyback programs.
The mayor announced gun buyback events for May 4th in Elysian Park, Wilmington, South LA, and Van Nuys that are aimed at reducing gun violence in the city.
I encourage every Angeleno to turn in their guns and say no to senseless violence in our neighborhoods. Now we're asking for your help in removing guns from our street. Turn in your guns. Keep weapons away from gang members and dangerous criminals.
Organizers say firearms that are surrendered will be checked to see if they are stolen. If the guns were stolen, they will be returned to their rightful owners. The rest of the firearms will be destroyed by the LAPD.
We're offering a comfortable and accessible opportunity for Angelenos to drop off their weapons, neutral ground, no questions asked.
In exchange, Angelenos will receive a Ralph's grocery card for up to $200 for assault weapons and up to $100 for handguns, rifles, or shotguns. Police Chief Charlie Beck attributed the gun buyback programs to decreases in crime rates. But critics of gun buybacks say they are ineffective because these programs attract people who are least likely to commit crimes. Chief Beck says the program heightens the public's awareness about the dangers associated with guns.
The most dangerous thing in your home is that unwanted, that forgotten, that ignored, that unnecessary firearm. Because that's the firearm that's going to kill you or one of your loved ones, or be stolen and used against one of your neighbors.
Since its initiation in 2009, the gun buyback program has collected almost 10,000 firearms across the city. Cliff Liu, Annenberg Radio News.
This is the third official day of sequestration's effect on the nation's airports. The Federal Aviation Administration was forced to slash $600 million from its budget as a result of federal budget cuts. It's caused major delays and headaches for travelers. Denise Guerra went to LAX today to see how passengers are faring.
With planes booming overhead, travelers outside LAX's Tom Bradley International Airport Terminal are gathering their luggage. One Long Beach resident is about to check in for her flight to Germany, with sequestration heavy on her mind.
I just saw it in the news and I'm nervous. It's making me nervous about my flight that we're about to take. I'm not gonna lie.
Lucky for her, this afternoon, LAX is experiencing sunny weather and a relatively normal rate of flights to and from the airport. Even the passenger information desk at American Airlines said they had anticipated delays, but so far it's all been normal.
And you can see from the display up there, some flights are even coming in early.
Despite the calm, this will not be the case for every airport in the U.S. At this moment, the FAA's Air Traffic Control System Command Center shows East Coast airports experiencing a delay of more than an hour as a result of bad weather and staffing. Last Sunday, the first day the sequester took effect, LAX experienced delays of more than 3 hours. Because of federal budget cuts, the FAA has been forced to furlough nearly 47,000 employees. This means workers must take an unpaid day off every 10 days through September, leaving airports to operate with less efficiency. While the sequester will affect each airport differently, the FAA urges travelers to prepare for delays by checking fly.faa.gov. Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
I hope you really enjoyed that summery weather this past weekend, because the next few days will be a little chillier. Highs will be in the 60s and lows in the 50s with partly cloudy skies, but our sunny, warm weather should be back by Saturday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear about what's ahead for LA's baseball teams this season. The two women shot during the manhunt for Christopher Dorner reached a settlement with the city today. Margie Carenza and her mother, Emma Hernandez, were delivering newspapers in Torrance back in February when police mistook them for Dorner and opened fire. Their truck was hit with more than 100 bullets. Hernandez was hit twice in the back, and Carenza was injured by broken glass. The women have reached a $4.2 million settlement with the city. LA's Armenian residents are remembering a dark part of their history today. 98 years ago, Turkey's Ottoman Empire wiped out more than 1 million Armenians. The Archbishop of the Armenian Church Western Diocese spoke at the LA County Board of Supervisors meeting today about lessons we all can learn from genocide.
At the turn of the century, 20th century, half of Armenian people were destroyed by the rulers of the Ottoman Empire. The whole world did not learn a lesson. Life is a gift from God. We don't have a right to destroy.
There will be a candlelight vigil hosted by Unified Young Armenians in Glendale tonight and a march through the Little Armenia community in Hollywood tomorrow. USC's Shoah Foundation is also hosting several events on the USC campus this week in remembrance of the Armenian Genocide. It's spring, and that means baseball. Evan Budrovich brings us this story about what might be a rough season for the Dodgers and the Angels.
The baseball season is merely 3 weeks gone by, yet Angelino fans have reasons for concern. Both the Dodgers and the Angels are battling the injury bug, fighting slow starts, and are trying to put a product on the field worth their hefty payrolls. LA Times baseball beat writer Bill Shaken has spent a good deal of time covering both the Dodgers and the Angels this season. He says the boys in blue have struggled at the dish because their big-name players are performing anything like superstars.
Then you're looking at a lineup that has defense-first players, to put it nicely, at second base, shortstop, third base, and catcher, then add in a pitcher and Kemp slumping, and that's not a potent lineup.
The pitching staff, meanwhile, started off the year with promise, but a slew of injuries may hamper their long-term success. The Dodgers have lost three starting pitchers to injury thus far, plus their reliable backup starter Aaron Harang was traded away earlier this season. Shaken says the semblance of a rotation is playing on pins and needles.
You know, right now they're just kind of hoping and crossing their fingers to finish out a rotation.
Over in Orange County, the Angels started the season with a 2-8 record. Despite the slow start, Shaken says the sluggish halos are showing signs of life.
But the offense is starting to come to life. This was definitely a team built on offense, and coming into this week, you have four of the first five hitters in the lineup all hitting above 300.
The Angels' pitching staff has been extremely dicey this season, unlike their counterparts across town. In order for the Angels to succeed, Shaken feels the pitching staff will need to improve.
They have a pretty decent bullpen now, and they don't need their starters to give them 7-8 innings. They'd like it, but they're not getting it right now, and if they can outslug people, they may not need it.
The Dodgers' sputtering offense is scoring with the New York Mets as we speak, while the Angels host the Texas Rangers later tonight. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
For 1 month in 2012, USC's Campus Center hosted a piano as part of the international Play Me, I'm Yours public piano installation. The piano was so popular that USC placed one there to stay. Reporter Nick Berman has the story of the piano and its visitors.
A piano sits in the heart of a college campus. No one is paid to play it. No one is required to practice there. And yet every day, talented students spend their free time playing and sharing their musical talents with others.
Thank you.
My name's Andre Felicities. I'm a sophomore here at USC. I've been playing the piano for 13 years. The first time I saw the piano, I thought this was kind of bizarre, like, why is there this piano outside? But then the idea caught on so quick, people just sat down and started playing, and it was just so phenomenal and so unique.
Andre is one of many students who plays there often and enjoys the experience.
I kind of play more for myself. I kind of get in my own world, and it's a way for me to kind of relax. I just think people should not be scared to get up and play, because it doesn't matter how good you are, it's just cool to share yourself with the world.
Sophomore Brian Yee is a business major who understands firsthand what it means to share yourself with the world. His contribution? The song Dire Dire Docks from the popular 1990s video game Super Mario 64.
Right after you left, I started playing this song, and once I finished, another guy came up to me and he said that was his favorite song in his childhood, and you know, for that day, I was the most amazing person, so that was probably the best compliment I've ever gotten.
Brian stopped playing the piano in high school. He rediscovered his passion while playing the Campus Center piano, and now plays it all the time. But not everyone is a regular at the piano. Senior Naima Muhammad has listened to others, but has never played at the piano herself.
I got jealous of everyone that was playing there, but I was too shy to do it myself in front of so many people. Today I kind of just decided, like, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to sit there and play and not be afraid and hope for the best.
I happened to be there when Naima sat down and played at the campus piano for her first time, a song she wrote herself.
It's strange because it's in the middle of everything, yet I sat down, played it, and felt like I was in my own world for some reason. Like, I wasn't quite aware almost of what was going on as soon as I started playing.
Naeem is an aspiring musician and songwriter. It was her first time playing in the Campus Center, but she says it won't be her last.
I definitely want to play, like, all the time there during my free time. I feel like today kind of helped me just get out of my fear of it and embrace it and realize that all I'm doing is just sharing my music with people.
And that's just what the Campus Center piano does. It allows talented students to rekindle their love for the piano, find their voice, and share their music. This is Nick Berman, Annenberg Radio News.
One fake tweet caused a very real stock market crash today. Around 1 o'clock Eastern Time, a hacker group seized the official account of the Associated Press, tweeting about explosions at the White House and saying that Barack Obama had been injured. The president was fine, but for 5 minutes, investors lost their heads. The Dow Jones average went through the floor. The S&P 500 index, a market bellwether, dropped more than $136 million in 180 seconds. This kind of thing, where digital monkey shines wreak havoc on global finance, has happened before. I spoke with an expert in digital security who said it could lead to widespread corporate crises and new forms of insider trading. And it'll happen again.
My name is Bob West. I used to be with Echelon One. That was my company. I recently joined Intelligent ID as their chief security officer. And I sit on several advisory boards.
You're aware of the AP news tweet this morning?
I think there was a fake tweet this morning, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, exactly. There was the fake tweet, and then there was the, you know, ramifications for the stock market.
Absolutely. It's one of the challenges that I see in most enterprises is that security executives don't communicate in terms that the business will understand. So as an example, in this particular case, what are the financial implications in terms of having a fake tweet that can impact markets?
Yeah.
And I would tell you that conversation rarely happens with security people. Let's say there was a fake tweet that came out from an analyst at Citi or Goldman Sachs or whoever, that could have a really significant impact, not just for the market as a whole, but someone could take advantage of it and know that the price is going to go down and then buy it. So if it's a problem
right.
for a large financial institution, it's going to be a problem for everyone.
Yeah, even an individual could have a big presence. Yeah. Are we going to see more breaches like this in the future, or are we sort of at a stasis level?
I can't see things going away. I mean, security is never perfect. Everyone is going to have a problem. They're going to get breached. And the question becomes, have I done what's commercially reasonable?
Is there anything special that a company can do to protect their Twitter account? Is it just the same for everyone? They have a good password and they have to change it? Or are there any special precautions that companies can take? It sounds like what you're saying is there's not. It sounds like that you sort of start with the same basics.
Exactly. It's the basic blocking and tackling that people need to do. And the challenge is that approximately the bottom half of the Fortune 500 is the basic blocking and tackling isn't done, regretfully. And that's for a variety of reasons, but that's the reality. In general, organizations are reactive. The right investment typically doesn't happen until bad things happen. A large percentage of organizations aren't doing the basics. And if you do the basics, and you can protect yourself from a lot of those threats.
Have you ever had your account hacked?
Thankfully, no.
Bob West, I guess I'll see you on Twitter.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
One correction. The S&P 500 index dropped more than $136 billion in value in 180 seconds. Los Angeles received a multi-million dollar grant today to create jobs. As Jerome Campbell reports, the money will be spent on local residents at the expense of other Californians.
It's about that time in the semester when teachers are almost finished with the school year. But 2 years ago, English teacher Jenny Cobb wasn't looking forward to her spring break.
In the summer of 2011, I was no longer employed due to layoffs.
Cobb searched for a sustainable job for over a year with no luck.
Being lost and uncertain of the future, I began to feel like life was going nowhere. Today, my life is going somewhere.
Cobb spoke at a news conference today to talk about her success through LA's Workforce Development Program.
It helped me create a brand new Jenny Cobb. A Jenny who has morphed into a beautiful butterfly and whose wings are soaring higher than ever.
The program helps unemployed residents by providing on-the-job training at companies that will eventually hire them. Villaraigosa praised the success the program has had in the 2 years since it started.
The numbers speak for themselves. We have been able, in this period of time, to create 76,191 summer jobs and 200,198 living wage jobs.
The mayor says the program's success rate helped the city receive a federal grant, which would create 2,000 more living wage jobs.
Thanks to a generous $13.7 million grant from the federal government, our WorkSource training centers will be actively training displaced Angelenos.
There are 20 WorkSource locations throughout LA that will not only train, but connect job seekers to employers. Workforce Development Board member Charlie Wu says Los Angeles received the funds because other California communities did not manage their programs well.
Over $13 million of the money that's left over for other regions is coming to us because of what we have done, because of our outstanding record.
The city's record employment rate still isn't stellar, at around 10% compared to the national average at 7.6%. Jerome Campbell, Annenberg Radio News.
It's prom season, and two groups of seniors are gearing up for a special dance tonight. High school seniors from New Community Jewish High School and senior citizens from the Los Angeles Jewish Home will take to the dance floor tonight for senior prom. The annual event will begin at 5:30 tonight in Reseda. Now we're checking in with Nick Burton to hear what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks so much, Graham. Well, tonight we have the latest on the investigation into the Boston bombings. Hear what Boston PD had to say. Plus, UCLA held a blood drive and a commemorative walk in honor of those killed and injured last week in Boston. What students did to honor those affected. And Santa Monica addressed a proposition to regulate the use of city parks for fitness activities. See what was proposed in the debate about how the parks should be used.
That's it for this Tuesday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Graham Clark.